Chapter 12, A Personal Appeal.
I appeal to the teachers in our educational institutions not to let religious earnestness and zeal retrograde. Make no backward movements, but let your watchword be advance. Our schools must rise to a much higher plane of action. Broader views must be held. Stronger faith and deeper piety must exist. The Word of God must be made the root and branch of all wisdom and intellectual attainments. When the converting power of God takes hold of them, they will see that a knowledge of God covers a much broader field than the so-called advanced methods of education. In all the education given, they should remember the words of Christ, "Ye are the light of the world," Matthew 5:14. Then they will not experience so great hindrance in preparing missionaries to go out and give their knowledge to others. We have every endowment of capability, every facility provided for discharging the duties devolving upon us. And we should be grateful to God that by His mercy we have these advantages and that we possess the knowledge of His grace and of present truth and duty. Are you then, as teachers, trying to maintain the false education you have received? Are you losing the precious opportunities granted you to become better acquainted with God's plans and methods? Do you believe the Word of God? Are you every day becoming better able to understand, to give yourselves to the Lord, and to be used in His service? Are you missionaries to do God's will? Do you believe the Bible and heed what it says? Do you believe that we are living in the last days of this earth's history? And have you hearts that can feel? We have a large work before us. We are to be bearers of the sacred light of the world, which is to illumine all nations. We are Christians. And what are we doing? Take your position, teachers, as true educators, and by words and expressions of interest for their souls, pour into the hearts of the students the living stream of redeeming love. Counsel with them before their minds are preoccupied with their literary work. Entreat them to seek Christ and His righteousness. Show them the changes that will surely take place if the heart is given to Christ. Fasten their attention on Him. This will close the door to the foolish aspirations that naturally arise and will prepare the mind for the reception of divine truth. The youth must be taught that time is golden, that it is perilous for them to think that they can sow wild oats and not reap a harvest of woe and ruin. They must be taught to be sober-minded and to admire the good in the character of others. They must be trained to place the will on the side of God's will, that they may be able to sing the new song and blend with the harmonies of heaven. Put off all manifestations of self-importance, for this can be no help to you in your work. And yet I beseech you to place a high estimate upon your own character, for you are bought with an infinite price. Be careful. Be prayerful. Be serious. Do not feel that you can mingle the common with the sacred. This has been done so continually in the past that the spiritual discernment of teachers has been obscured, and they cannot distinguish between the sacred and the common. They have taken common fire and have exalted and praised and cherished it, and the Lord has turned away in displeasure. Teachers, will it not be better to make a full consecration of yourselves to God? Will you imperil your souls by a divided service? By pen and voice, give due honor to God. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Will the teachers in our schools understand this? Will they take the Word of God as the lesson book able to make them wise unto salvation? Will they impart this higher wisdom to students, giving them clear and accurate ideas of truth, that they may be able to present these ideas to others? It may seem that the teaching of God's Word has but little effect upon many minds and hearts, but if the teacher's work has been wrought in God, some lessons of divine truth will linger in the memory of even the most careless. The Holy Spirit will water the seed sown, and often it will spring up after many days and bear fruit to the glory of God. The great teacher who came down from heaven has not directed teachers to study any of the reputedly great authors. He says, "Come unto me, learn of me, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Matthew 11:28-29. Christ has promised, and in learning lessons of him, we shall find rest. All the treasures of heaven were committed to him that he might give these gifts to the diligent, persevering seeker. He is of God, made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1 Corinthians 1:30. Teachers must understand what lessons to impart, or they cannot prepare students to be transferred to the higher grade. They must study Christ's lessons and the character of his teaching. They must see its freedom from formalism and tradition and appreciate the originality, the authority, the spirituality, the tenderness, the benevolence, and the practicability of his teaching. Those who make the Word of God their study, those who dig for the treasures of truth, will themselves become imbued with the Spirit of Christ, and by beholding, they will become changed into his likeness. Those who appreciate the Word will teach as disciples who have been sitting at the feet of Jesus and have accustomed themselves to learn of him. In the place of bringing into our schools books containing the suppositions of the world's great authors, they will say, "Tempt me not to disregard the greatest author and the greatest teacher, through whom I have everlasting life. He never mistakes. He is the great fountainhead whence all wisdom flows." Then let every teacher sow the seed of truth in the minds of students. Christ is the standard teacher. The Word of the Eternal God is our guide. Through this Word we have been made wise unto salvation. This Word is ever to be in our hearts and on our lips. "It is written" is to be our anchor. Those who make God's Word their counselor realize the weakness of the human heart and the power of the grace of God to subdue every unsanctified, unholy impulse. Their hearts are ever prayerful, and they have the guardianship of holy angels. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God lifts up for them a standard against him. There is harmony in the heart, for the precious, powerful influences of truth bear sway. There is a revelation of the faith that works by love and purifies the soul. Pray that you may be born again. If you have this new birth, you will delight yourself not in the crooked ways of your own desires, but in the Lord. You will desire to be under his authority. You will strive constantly to reach a higher standard. Be not only Bible readers, but earnest Bible students, that you may know what God requires of you. You need an experimental knowledge of how to do his will. Christ is our teacher. Let every teacher in our schools and every manager in our institutions study what is essential for them to do in order to work in his lines and carry with them a sense of pardon, comfort, and hope. Heavenly messengers are sent to minister unto those who shall be heirs of salvation, and these would converse with the teachers if they were not so satisfied with the well-trodden path of tradition, if they were not so fearful of getting away from the shadow of the world. Teachers should beware lest they close the gates so that the Lord can find no entrance into the hearts of the youth.